credibility. And actually, it's not from the character, it's from the actor who's playing the character. And if you think about any kind of dramatic communication, if you were sitting in your home and carrying on an intense conversation with your wife, for example, or with one of your children about some sort of event that has happened, say the death of their grandparent or your father or mother, there's going to be emotion attached to that and in that conversation. There is nothing premeditated. Everything that you talk about in that conversation is going to be very spontaneous, and it's going to be packed with some sort of feeling. If somebody were to be observing that communication process, then they would instantly feel an empathy for what is happening. A tear could come down the cheek, and it's not because they would be looking at it and analyzing it or feeling aloof. They're going to be involved in the moment. And that's basically what I look for in a character or an actor who is presenting a character on stage. That credibility has to be there for the audience to forget that they are sitting in a space observing something, and instead get involved in the moment, forget about time, space, place, and are involved in the dramatic event. That is true drama.
How do you take a student fresh off the street who wants to play a role? How do you talk them? How do you teach them to be a character?
Well, first of all, in the audition process, I look for people that I can communicate with. Ideally, in a play like what we're doing, I do need people that have had experience as well. So I use that in my auditioning. And then once I know, just in sensing, there's so many different things you look for in an audition, but once I know that I can communicate, I can reach to that person's soul, I can touch buttons, I can communicate emotionally, then they go through a process. Most of the students, in fact, every single one of the students in this performance or in this production, have never experienced the type of directing that they're getting. They have not been pushed this far, I don't believe. And the process that they follow, first of all, is to get their lines down, memorization, get that done, and do a character study. Look at the type of person just on what the lines themselves, not only theirs, but the ones of those people that are in the scene with them, the clues that tell them who this person is. And then from that, build a scenario. And if you can think of how complex we all are as individuals, there is no one definition for any one of us. We are complex, contradictory beings. So from that point on, I ask them to embellish and embellish and embellish. How many sisters and brothers do you have? What is your history? Where did you go to school? How far along are you in school? If none of this is in the script, they still need to create this, because it's all part of building the entire past. If a person is 35 years old in a play, they've got 35 years worth of history behind them. They have to construct this. To digest all of that is a long process, and that's the reason for perhaps a 4-week or a 6-week rehearsal period, so that all of this can be synthesized and become as normal in the subconscious as one's own past. And that's when you have a genuine character.
You are working with a character. How do the people study for this? Do they study just on the stage, or is it beyond stage work and practicing and learning to be Charlie Smith?
Well, there is a great degree done on stage when we're the first part of a rehearsal is in the very early stages, is basic blocking. In other words, the choreography, the movements. Where do you move when you say such and such a line? And then that, as they are learning the lines in conjunction with the blocking, getting used to it so that it becomes second nature, is developed more and more and more through what are the underlying reasons? Why are you saying what you're saying? Everything that we say has either an intellectual or an emotional base. And really then studying that within the context of the scene. If there is a dramatic build within a scene, if there was a fight, for example, when we fight or have an animated conversation, it may start off slowly and the other person responds, but pretty soon you start getting more and more involved and you start raising your tempo and your build and build and build and build until finally you reach a peak of saying, no more, or it's that sort of a crescendo effect to a climax. And that's what happens in directing a scene. That's also one of the difficult things for an actor, because if they are used to learning only lines and blocking, to throw in these other dimensions of the interaction with somebody, or the effort to cover an interaction. I don't like to, as my personal, if I'm playing a character, for example, that requires stifling emotion, I can't let out those emotions that are underneath, but I still have to feel them. It's a polishing point, but it's a very difficult thing for actors to do. A lot of people, when they see actors on stage that have not gone through the experience, say, oh, that looks simple. Look how easy it is. They're just being people. But to take somebody else's lines, words, and to plug in all of these emotional dynamics, the different layers, what you cover up, what you don't reveal about yourself, but that is still there, don't overact on it, make it credible so that it does come across easy, then an actor is doing it, doing his or her job. It's a very complex process.
Switching to director now. What's the easiest, what's the hardest part about being a director?
In 30 words or less. The easiest part of being a director, I don't think that there is an easiest part. Directing is, I kind of compare it to a bicycle wheel. As one analogy, where for the bicycle wheel to really roll true, and in the analogy, the play is the bicycle wheel, the spokes in the wheel all have to be present. And if any single spoke is missing, then it's going to throw the wheel a little bit out of whack. And directing is very much the same way. If the director is not in touch with every single one of those spokes, if all of those spokes are not there, the play is going to be off. The more that are missing, the more oblong or out of kilter this wheel is going to be. And the things that a director has to do, and it's one thing that I love the most, is working with every single one of the actors, knowing how to communicate with them to pull out the best performance that actor is capable of doing. You also have to be in touch with knowing the psychological effect of lighting. For particular types of scenes, when do you want to have it intense, a cooler tone or a brighter tone? The sound effects, making sure that technically everything is getting done on time, making sure to stay on top of costumes. And a lot of what I'm saying is directing in an amateur theater. In a professional theater, a director does not have to deal with those. So I think maybe if I were to pick... Well, I can't give you the easiest part. The most difficult part of directing for me is that is something I'm going through right now, as in the present stage that we are in our development of this of the dining room. I am also an actor. That's my profession primarily, and in working with actors, I have to be as involved in the dramatic moment as they are. I also have to be as involved in their character, the human being that they're playing, so that I can give them guidance and make sure that they know when they are in line and when they are not. So I have to be involved and know each one of these people intimately and the dramatic situations that they are in. My difficulty is that I then pull myself back, go and sit out in the auditorium and observe as an outsider, and I don't have the release, the emotional release, that they as actors can. It's very it's not a frustrating experience, but it's a difficult process. I need to go home after a rehearsal is over and unwind for 4 hours or 5 hours, meaning 2 or 3 in the morning. That's a difficult process. I don't mind it, I enjoy it, but it's difficult.
I've jumped around. Anything you'd like to add? I do want to ask you a little bit about the play, but anything while we're talking about this area?
No.
And briefly, what is your
The Dining Room is the play. It is written by A.R. Gurney, Jr., and it's about, let me see, in 10 words or less, it's an anthropological study of the vanishing breed of the Northeastern Wasp, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. And it's, I wouldn't quite call it a pure comedy, because there's a lot of dramatic meat to it. It's a wonderful play. It depicts an entire lifestyle. It's constructed of 18 scenes, played by 60 different, or acted out, filled with 60 different characters, And there are 8 actors who portray those 60 different characters. And instead of tracing a single family unit, like many, or a single unit of people, each one of the scenes is made up of different people, and so it's instead depicting a lifestyle, a culture. And all of the comedic things that they go through, and the human events, the crises that we go through. So that by the end of the show, not only have you seen very many funny moments, you also have, I think, a really good emotional understanding of a group of people that I think a lot of folks in Fairbanks may not be familiar with. I think it's one of the purest cultures that we have in this country, one of the oldest, certainly, that's purely American.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.